Hey, welcome to the Table Podcast. My name is Simon. I'm a grateful believer in Christ. I celebrate recovery over drugs and alcohol, and I am blessed to be here.
Hi, I'm Amber. I celebrate recovery over infidelity, codependency, sexual abuse, so many things, and I am grateful to be here.
Hi, I'm Jess. I'm a grateful believer, and I celebrate recovery over grief and abandonment and a whole host of other issues.
Yes, and tonight our beautiful friend wanted to bring something to a lot of people that we are still in the dark about. Some of you guys may know that September is Suicide Prevention Month. It's one of these topics that in ministry, in life in general, in school, we don't talk about this much. But we feel like this is a necessary thing that should be all in the front of our minds, something that we should be thinking about, something we should be praying on, and something that we should be being advocates about. Some of you don't know, because a lot of us are uneducated when it comes to this, that suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States of America. And one in every 12 minutes, there is a suicide, successfully. There are 25 attempts for every one completion. And we wanted to kind of talk about, Jess wants to share her story in all this, because by the time that this podcast is over, there would be 3 successful suicides. And as people with hearts and people that love, we feel like we should be doing more about this. And it starts with talking about it. So Jessica, we are just honored that you have the brave soul of just sharing your story and what you have been through. And let's just open up with prayer first before we get into anything. Lord Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to say thank you for this intentional meeting, Lord. 4 billion people in the world, and you decided to choose us three today to talk about this. Lord, we just want to lift up any families that may be grieving. We just want to step in and be involved in their grief with them and share it, and just let them know that they are not alone. They are loved, and most importantly, Lord, that you love them. And we just ask for transparency tonight. Protect our hearts as we go into a topic that is not talked enough in the church world. And just protect Jessica as she's taking another step in bravery, trusting you and sharing this story, Lord. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So with that being said, Jessica, we're just going to let
give
you
the floor.
Yeah.
Let you share.
All right. So my husband is the one that killed himself. We grew up together. I'd known him my whole life. And if someone had told me that that was how he was going to die, I would have laughed them right out of the room. He was fun-loving and happy and always laughing. He was the kind of person that would give you the shirt off his back. Sometimes that was an issue for us because he'd want to help someone and stop giving them all of our stuff. Stop it. he knew Jesus and he knew the Bible better than anyone that I've ever met. I remember Daryl making a comment about that once. He was just mind blown how much he knew about the Bible. So I guess my point in saying that is no one is immune.
Yeah.
He knew the Bible and he loved Jesus and he still passed away that he did. No one is immune to the pain of the world and no one is safe completely from the enemy.
Yeah.
And that is just how it is, unfortunately, this side of heaven. That day, everything was normal. We went to a family barbecue. We had just had a baby a month before, so we had two children. I can remember he was playing with them that evening, and he said, you know, we need to go to the store. And I said, you're right. We need to get those stupid monthly stickers to take Arya's picture. We're already late. And he was like, okay, whatever. And everything was fine. And it was like when we were driving, something flipped for him, and he started talking, like, erratically about how the world made it hard to be a Christian, and the world made it hard to do this and take care of your family, and none of it really made sense to me. I mean, looking back now, obviously that was probably a obvious he had been triggered.
Yeah.
By something. We got home and we had argued a little bit, and I had just said, get in your truck and you just sit there until you are done with whatever this is, and then you can come inside. But you don't need to be inside acting like this.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, and he got in the truck, and I walked to our front door, realized I didn't have my keys, so then I went back to the car and just opened the garage. I had enough time to go into our kitchen and set the baby down, and we were standing inside, and I heard a shot. And I went outside to ask him what it was, and I walked out in time to see him die. He killed himself with a gun I didn't even know he had. If he had planned this, I had no idea. But that's not how it always is. I have friends that gave very clear signs, but we thought they were joking. And so we did nothing about it. And like you said, it is one of the leading causes of death. In fact, I would venture it's probably top three. At 1 in 10, I would say that is probably pretty close, at least, and we are not talking about it. I have found that if I mention that that's how he died, people are like, oh, okay, and then they want to change the subject because it is uncomfortable, but I think we need to be uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're leaving people to just deal with it on their own, and because we're not talking about it and we're stigmatizing this, they're afraid to talk about it.
Yeah.
They already obviously feel pain and shame and darkness. And we've now told them, you can't talk about this. If you talk about this, then you're wrong. What do they do with that? Nothing.
Yeah.
They don't have any other choice at that point because there's no one that wants to hear it. That's really unfortunate.
It is.
We're not helping people if we're not talking about it.
Yeah.
Got to be willing to talk about it.
Yeah, and me and my wife, like we believe too, like, you know, stepping out of that comfort zone. One of the main leading causes why we decided to do these podcasts was because, you know, we are less than 5 years in ministry.
Yeah.
And I get the pleasure of being the youth pastor. She gets to lead out in women's. And when we get around a lot of these people, it's almost like we steer away from these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Or we try to pass the buck, whether if it's like a kid. Hey, I think that kid's like going through something. Well, I don't have the emotional intelligence or anything to do anything about it. And I think that's where we're missing the point. You know, as Christians, we almost like feel like, man, that person doesn't really fit my status quo, this person doesn't fit my agenda, and that's not okay. And you know, with teenagers, with, you know, like we talked about before we started with women first too, is talk about what you know about the temps and numbers in that.
So women are, I think it's like 60% more likely to attempt suicide, and I may have the numbers a little wrong, but we are more likely to attempt it, but men are more likely to complete it because men are going to use I don't know how to phrase it, much more likely to succeed ways, I guess. Women want to be clean. We don't want to leave a mess for you to clean up later.
Yeah.
But clearly, even if we're not succeeding, we're attempting. So we're all, male or female, suffering from things that we are not able to talk about.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of the time, I think people don't talk about it because we're so quick to say, you're selfish. If you do that, you're selfish.
Yes.
And like I said, Nathan was 100% less selfish than I ever have been in my life. And I'm still here and he's not. I will still say I'm more selfish than he ever was. And I think that that's part of the problem. We're telling people, you're selfish if you do that. But after he died, I went through my own suicidal thoughts where it wasn't necessarily I wanted to die, but I didn't want to feel what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And I wanted us to all be together. And when you're grieving and in pain, you're not always rational.
Yeah.
So in my irrational thoughts, it was like, well, I won't be in pain and we'll be together. And it will be exactly like I thought it was supposed to be all along.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that to be in that place, it's not because you're selfish. It's because you're in such a dark place, you can see no light.
Yeah.
There's not anything that's going to fix that.
Yeah.
And that's when you need people the most, to come to you and not tell you that you're selfish, but to tell you, I love you, and I don't know how to help you, but I'm here. Let's figure this out.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. So, you know, because one thing that we always hear, too, with people that do attempt a suicide and have be a successful one, they all, you know, you're selfish, you're this, you're passing it, you're passing the hurt on. What was the grieving process that you still, or you did, that you lean into that helps you the most?
Admitting that I wasn't fine was like the key. Because for a long time, like I had told you before, I would hear, oh, you seem like you're doing so great.
Yeah.
And I wore that like a badge of honor. Like, I am doing great. Look at how I can handle this. God's given me all of this stuff to carry, and I'm carrying it just fine.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, and I also wasn't letting God help me to carry it. So it was just this big old mess where no one could see it. So I was essentially doing the same thing that he had done, carrying all this stuff, but not sharing it with anyone. And if we're not sharing, and we're not doing life with people, and we're not being open and transparent, people can't help us.
Yeah.
So how can we be mad and say, well, you didn't help me? Well, you didn't tell me that you had a problem.
Yeah.
So learning to be open and transparent and just say, hey, you know what? No, I'm not good today. Today is not a good day. And not just saying I'm fine, because I think that's what people want to hear.
Yeah.
If I ask you how you are, I don't want you to tell me that you're fine. I want you to tell me how you really are.
Yeah.
But I've had to come to a place where I've recognized that within myself and with other people. But that's been key. Because for a long time, it was just, I'm fine. I am fine. But that was doing nothing for anyone, myself or the people that were asking. I think Jen puts it the best. She says, if you're not telling people how you are or what you need, then you might be robbing them of a blessing.
Right.
Yes.
Of being able to bless you. And I was for a long time. And I have found that the more that I am transparent, not only have I been blessed, but I've been able to also bless people. And that is, I think, key in healing, is just letting Jesus use it. Just have it.
Yeah.
And not taking it back. Because that was a big thing for me for a long time, too, was, here, you can have it. Oh, wait, you're not doing this fast enough. Give me that
back.
I'll
give it back to you in a minute.
Yeah. I'm like, give me this. I can probably do this better.
Yeah.
Nope.
So, you know, I've heard things, because mental health, obviously, has been another thing that we don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We're Christians. Christians don't have mental health. Everything's Lucky Charms and horseshoes, unicorns, all that good stuff. But it's not. Because another factor that, you know, as I was preparing for this podcast, 2017, they saw a spike in pastoral suicides. And it was like the enemy had a plan to attack the holy people that were just, you know, biblically strong, spiritually strong. And I love what you said about, you know, the whole thing of, you know, I don't want to offend you, but he's in hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yeah.
I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that, you know, he is with God. He is looking down on his kids. He is praying. He is part of the incense of heaven.
Yeah.
Just, you know, preparing a spot for you guys. You know, what are you sharing with your kids? What are you sticking to biblically? that someone that has been through this recently. Maybe it's a mother, maybe it's a preacher's wife that dealt with this. What would you tell them today to put their hope and trust in?
Well, first I would say if anyone tells you that, you know, they're in hell, they're coming from a place where this lie was started by the Catholic Church in the 90s because they saw a rash in suicides. And this was their way of getting people to stop, like scare tactic.
Yeah.
I don't fault them. They probably had no idea what to do. Because it is an issue that we're not well-versed in. But now we've hung on to this idea that these people are going to hell, when really we all have been taught the only unforgivable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He says that. And if we believe what God says, then they can't be in hell. So have peace in that. As far as my kids go and how we've kind of handled it is, we put my son in play therapy. It's just where they play and they draw and they do therapy that way. And the one thing that she told me that I really took with me was to be honest about it. She said that she had found that it's always the kids that were lied to about it, or not necessarily even lied to, just not told the truth, that held on to that and kind of internalized it as maybe it was their fault. So we were always open and honest. And so with Sawyer, we started with his brain is sick. And with Aria, she still thinks that. Sawyer knows his brain is sick, but he also knows that he made this choice. And he knows that it had nothing to do with him. And that, you know, sometimes the enemy brings you to this place. But he also knows that he has hope in heaven. I'm grateful that we've made the choice to raise him in the church and at a Christian school where he knows that heaven is real and Jesus is real. And we will see them again. And just because something bad has happened to us, doesn't mean that he is bad or we are bad or that Jesus doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's also learned that it's okay to be angry and it's okay to be sad, but to talk about it. And I'm very big on that is I don't ever let my kids just tell me that they're fine, especially if I can see it, that something's bothering them. I might not push it, but I will ask again later. And we will keep asking until we get some sort of answer so that they know that we're there and we're listening to them. I don't ever want them to just tell me that they're fine and then I forget about it.
Yeah.
Because clearly Nathan was fine, quote unquote, and we just moved forward, but he wasn't really fine. And we weren't addressing things that needed to be addressed. And I don't want my kids to get in that predicament. Especially because, unfortunately, statistically, they are now more likely to suffer from mental health and suicidal ideations and things like that because they've had a parent die this way.
Yeah.
I think this is good that we're talking about it, especially now with the pandemic and all the isolation going on and mental health not being taken care of. And I think that this is so good that you came and shared this, especially with all that going on.
Yeah, I agree because, you know, like there's like 10 risk factors that people ignore. And if we ignored them as well. And like you said, going through the pandemic, you know, mental disorders, there's alcohol and substance abuse that drives it. Impulsive and aggression, mm-hmm. You know, those are risk factors. Some is recent hurt and betrayal. I know for like my family and I, I'm still walking with my mother. Her brother committed suicide and it was with the gun as well. And his was similar. It was just, everything that was good up until it wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, people were always saying, man, I wish I would have known. I wish I would have known. And, you know, one thing that I myself, my mom, we beat ourselves up a lot. You know, because there was times where he would reach out and call. And it was just like, oh, hey, man, what's going on? And when you replay some things, you're just like, man, that's what he was saying. You know, I love what you said of, no, I'm okay. It's like, really, are you really okay?
And that's why it's important to educate.
Yeah.
We need to know what the signs are.
I think Christians are, this sounds so bad, but I am a Christian. So I'm attacking myself as well.
Yeah.
We are the worst about it. We come into church on Sunday. How are you? I'm fine. Oh, that's great. I'm mm-hmm. fine too. We're not like really asking.
Yeah.
We're just making pleasantries with the people that we love as we come in through the doors and then we leave and we go about our day. And, but everything, maybe everything wasn't fine.
Yeah.
I don't think sometimes Christians want to acknowledge that things are not fine because we've all been conditioned, I think, to think once we're saved, everything's supposed to be fine and great. And I even, as I was baptized the first time at 16, and I think I thought, I've done this, now my life is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I would venture to say it might have been harder because once you're saved, the enemy wants you more than he does when you're not.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with God. It's all about I've done what God wants me to do, and the enemy hates that. So he's going to come for you.
Yeah.
We just have to be equipping people to know what to do when that happens.
Yes.
And to make them feel like they can be transparent with you.
Yeah.
Make them feel like you actually care and you're not just asking to ask.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think, too, stepping into their world, it can be very uncomfortable for them as well. I know going through suicide prevention training, you know, they always say, hey, ask them, get personal with them and say, hey, is this a reality? Are you aware of what you're leaving behind? Do you have a plan? You know, and the funny thing about it is like, even in the church, they are like, hey, this is the one time it's okay to tell a lie of, you know, where are you? And get them help, you know? And I think that's where we have to step in as being uncomfortable of just saying, hey, you know, I'm not going to pass this, but I'm going to take ownership of this and help them. I got to do what's best for them, you know, because in these times of whatever it is, you know, it may be to them in their mind, it's a temporary solution, but to us, it's a permanent solution. And we want to get involved in that, you know, and I know, like, go ahead, babe.
And I was just going to say, too, really quick, that it is a misconception. We want to believe that saying, talking about suicidal thoughts or suicide is going, we think that it's going to push them towards it. Mm-hmm. But it's really important to be blunt, open, and transparent with them. And then, you know, do what Simon was saying. Talk with them. There's resources, prevention numbers you can call if they have nobody. I mean, you're there and then you get to know them. But yeah, I think that's very important, is to be just blunt, open, transparent.
Well, I think sometimes it's scary because you start to think about, if I tell this person and then I don't actually end up doing it, A, they're going to think I was lying to them, or B, all of this stuff is going to snowball and I'm going to lose my kids, or they're going to come in and, you know, take them and I'm never going to see them again, or my family's going to disown me, or all this stuff. But it doesn't have to be that big. We can just get you help, and then you're more equipped to take care of those children that you have, and things like that. It doesn't have to be that drastic where all this bad stuff happens. And you, like you said, people always say it passes the pain. It 100% does pass the pain. I will never deny that. But I also don't think that we can say that they thought about that. I don't think anyone sits there and thinks, you know, that pain's going to go to my wife. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's not a thought for them. They're not thinking about that.
Yeah. Not when you're in it.
Mm-mm. No, and so I have a hard time when people say that, yes, it passes the pain. But also I would say that us saying that is also a little bit selfish because we're not considering that where they had to be to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not just sad one day and you're like, you know, I'm sad. So I'm going to do this. It's bigger than that. Human nature is to survive. If you're doing anything that goes against that, something's wrong. And it has to be big.
Oh, wow. So I love to put, like, Bible into this.
Yeah.
What is something that you have looked into the Bible in these moments of grief, in these moments of clarity, looking, searching? What have you found that really just was like, yes, that's it, like a Bible verse, truth?
So our truth, and I say ours because it's all over our house, so it's just become our family verse, is Psalm 34. The whole thing, but really Psalm 34:18. It's, he, you know, he is near to the brokenhearted and he saves those Christian spirit. And I believe that. I believe that he has saved us, but I also believe that he saved Nathan. Like, I don't think that he obviously he couldn't stop it. Nathan had free will. But I also think that when Nathan got there, he greeted him with open arms, and he hugged him and loved him, and just, he was whole, and his soul wasn't crushed anymore. So I think, you know, he saved all of us. And he was just as grieved as we were. He didn't want Nathan to die that way.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to get there to say that, you know, he grieved with me, because for a long time that's where my anger was. I was never mad at Nathan. I was always mad at God, because I always say it's hard to reconcile sovereignty with free will. He knew what was going to happen, and he let it happen. It's very unsettling in these situations to know that. But he can't just take away his free will and then be like, but still choose a relationship with me. Either he's forcing us to do everything, or he's letting us have the reins. And I had to really come to that, and he has saved us in our despair. I've had to be willing to give it to him.
Yeah.
He clearly wasn't just going to come in and take it. We have to be willing to let him save us.
Yeah.
And once I was willing, once I hit the rock bottom and said, okay, fine, you have to take this because I can't do this, he did. I've seen it. And like I said, I believe he has done that for Nathan in a different way than I would have liked, but he has done it nevertheless.
Yes. Amen. We're coming up on like 30 minutes. That was fast.
Yeah.
But I just want to encourage anybody that if you're ever in this moment where you are aware, I mean, I encourage everyone just to get involved. Every county does suicide prevention training. I definitely would say look out for it, get involved in it. Your churches do that for leadership, and they always have an open invite for anybody and everybody. I know here locally where we're at, Mojave Mental Health, they are always open for suicide prevention training. And if you're someone that has been involved in it, I would definitely say share your story and help someone like Jessica just did. I think that you're amazing for that. I think that's awesome. One thing that we always got to look for and hold on to, I love how you mentioned Psalms, because that is something that's always like near and dear to my heart. I actually gave a message this Friday and use that verse, and I love how God is just like, hey, this was Jessica, this is why I gave it to you. And it's just that it's accepting God's forgiveness, because he is there near and dear to the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
And we have to be willing to accept his love and his grace, and it's sufficient enough for everybody.
Yeah.
It's sufficient enough for everybody, and just really lean into that. But if you're ever dealing with it, one thing that I always pass along to people is, you know, just be yourself with these people. I mean, I think the worst thing to do is to act faked or to act like it's cheerful, go lucky. I would say be empathetic in these moments.
Yes.
Show some empathy. You know, walk along their life. Get involved in their life. You know, make sure that you also yourself have someone near that knows what's going on, that you can bring in and have accountability. But not only that,
they're going to know if you're fake.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they're going to know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think that that's is because I myself am currently in a step study, and one thing that I've been working on is, you know, my depression. Depression is like one of the leading causes to suicide, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I've never had these thoughts,
right?
Because they have, you know. But for me, I was just either too depressed to do it or just too exhausted to do it. But one thing that was really hard for me to do was to let my wife in on things, to let people know, like, I'm a mess, you know. And I would just say the people that have the courage to step in, you know, just give it some time and don't rush it. It's going to be a process, I believe, to
Absolutely.
Help someone. You know, don't think that you're going to say one clever thing and it's like, oh, hey, you're right. You know, take time, you know.
It takes time to... It takes time to get to such a dark place. You don't just wake up that way one day. So it's going to take time to overcome it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that the world we live in now is kind of waking up to it a little bit. 1-800-273-8255. They have a suicide prevention hotline. You know.
Okay, you need to go.
Okay. And just, I would say, you know, reach out. Remember the number. I have it saved in my phone, because not only do they have it 24 hours for people that are going through it, but they also have it for people that are helping other people go through it. It's just an access, always open, always available. Yeah, it's confidential. They do assist. We actually did have to use it one time in our own church, and they were very helpful. They weren't, what people do is they, it almost angers them sometimes when people open up and they say they need help. It's just, you know, and these people were very loving, very caring, you know, it was very productive, I would say, you know, so.
So there's always somebody. If you have nobody, then you can call this number and then you have someone to connect with.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Always.
Any closing statements, Jess?
Just, even when you're in your darkest place, know that you are loved.
Yes.
Even when you don't think that you are loved, someone is glad that you are here, even if you aren't glad. And it's so cliche, but it will get better eventually. You just have to be here to see it get better. Like they said, there's always someone. Whether it's someone you're close with or someone you don't even know, there is someone that is willing to talk to you when you need it. Yeah. Don't ever let the idea that you're alone be the reason that you leave.
All right. Well, with that being said, hey, we love you, Jessica. We love you.
Thank you so much.
I love you guys.
I am so blessed that you can share this, and I hope that this can reach somebody today and it can really help them.
Yes.
So we love you guys.
Love you.
See you soon.
Bye.
On another great episode of To The Table Podcast. We would love to connect with you, and you can head over to our IG page, and that's where you can find us at tothetable.podcast. And we would love for you to just like and share it. And if you want to drop us a message, we are open to all communication. Any feedback is good feedback for us here. Maybe you want to share some knowledge or drop some gold nuggets for our listeners. We would love to drop those and share those on our next episodes. So message us. Maybe you want to see this ministry grow. We are open to all and every donation. So message us, let us connect, and we'll see you on the next episode. We love you guys, and God bless.